You take your Bible this morning, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to look at one verse here, although we'll be mentioning others throughout the message. But Ephesians 4 and verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for another opportunity to look into its pages. I trust and pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning through the working of your Holy Spirit. I pray that this message would not only be a blessing, but an encouragement and some help to us this morning as well. And so guide us and direct us in this preaching time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgiveness is something that is absolutely essential in life. Now, of course, if we were perfect people, we would need forgiveness. But since we're not perfect people, it's something we all need. However, a very difficult question that we humans have to deal with is this, and I hear this often. How do you forgive and forget? How do you forgive and forget? Well, I want you to listen to me now real carefully, okay? Because this is important. Are you ready now? Nowhere in the Bible does God command us to forget. Nowhere. But we are commanded to forgive. To forgive. And it's essential that we learn to forgive, because if we don't learn to forgive, we will soon run out of friends. And there are people like this. They have no friends because they've never learned how to forgive people who have done them wrong. You see, only God can forgive and forget. But all of us can forgive even though we cannot forget. And the reason we know that we can forgive is because God would not command us to do something that we could not do. He wouldn't. Now, we all have to deal with things that have happened to us, and I know we sometimes feel handcuffed to these things in our lives. For instance, I know people who've had a friend betray them years ago, and they still remember that horrible time in their life, and they constantly dwell on it. I know some people who've had a spouse break their marriage vow years ago, and they still remember it, and they let it affect everything they do. I know some people who have had a family member do them wrong, and they still remember that incident, and they let it grate on them every day. And my point is that it's not easy to forgive, some of the things that have been done to us, nor is it always easy to forgive ourselves for the things we've done to ourselves. And this has been a problem since the beginning of time. For example, David couldn't forget that he committed lust and adultery and murder. He just couldn't forget. In Psalm 51, verse 3, David writes, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." It's ever before me. He just couldn't forget. The Apostle Paul couldn't forget the sins he committed before he became a Christian. In Galatians 1:13, he writes, "For ye have heard of my conversation," which is an old English word for behavior, "for ye have heard of my behavior in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Paul said, I know you still remember the terrible things I did to God's church. He says, but so do I. So do I. And the reality is that many times people will not allow us to forget. For example, there's some folks who say, I'll forgive you, but I am not going to forget. And what they mean by saying that is, every time I get a chance, I'm going to rub it in your face. Or I'm going to use this offense as a weapon against you every time I get a chance. Can I just be honest with you? Those type of people do not know the first thing about forgiving. Not in the slightest. Folks, God commands us to forgive. And he commands us to forgive for a number of reasons. But one of the chief reasons is because a person cannot be happy unless that person is willing to forgive others. Unforgiveness just leaves you bitter and miserable and friendless. And so this morning, I want to show you three levels of forgiveness that concern us. Now, the first one is downward forgiveness. This is the forgiveness that comes down from God. We've all sinned, and we all need downward forgiveness. One time, a Sunday school teacher asked her class of little boys, what must you first do before you can be forgiven? And one of those little boys answered straightforward and said, you gotta sin. You gotta sin. And you know, I got to thinking about that this week, and that really is the correct answer to the question. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not, or if you're aware of it, but the central theme of the Bible is forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we read, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we can all be thankful this morning that God is a forgiving God. Now, David's story is a good example of this. David sinned against the Lord by committing lust and adultery and murder. But when confronted with his sin by Nathan the prophet in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 13, it says this, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. God is a forgiving God. But we have to be careful as we consider this subject, because some people think God is just obligated to forgive everyone, but that's not true. He forgives those who confess their sins and ask to be forgiven. That is, we must confess we've sinned, and we must ask him to forgive us of the sin we've committed. That's taught to us by the Apostle John in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know, that word sin, such a pesky word. And many preachers in our day and they don't even want to use the word sin anymore. But it is important that people understand about sin. Now, to sin means to miss the mark or to do wrong, right? And it has to do with our relationship with God, not our relationship with people. Like, you know, when our children do wrong, we don't say to them, son, you've sinned against me, right? Or if you're pulled over for speeding by the police, when the policeman hands you that ticket, you don't say, oh, I'm sorry, I sinned against you. So why is it we don't use the word sin like that? It's because sin is the transgression of divine law. And that's why I don't tell my kids, you've sinned against me. And that's why the highway patrolman doesn't give you a ticket for sinning. Sin is the transgression of divine law, which means that there is a divine God and he has a law. But and let me also explain this. There's a difference between a mistake and a sin. A mistake is an error in action, calculation, opinion, or judgment caused by poor reasoning. But sin is not a mistake. It is a violation against the laws of God. And sin requires God's forgiveness because all sin is against God. You see, if everything I do wrong can be dumbed down to where it's just a mistake, well, that makes me an imperfect person, but not a sinner. And if I'm not a sinner, I don't have any need for a Savior. And the truth is, a lot of folks are willing to admit they've made some mistakes, but they are not willing to admit that they have sinned. But the reality is, we have all sinned. There's no way to escape that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, he says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And in 1 John 1:8, you talk about hitting us on the head. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, hell is not filled with people because they made a mistake. Hell is filled with people who were never sorry for the sins they committed. They had no remorse. And hell is filled with people who have sinned against Almighty God but never asked him to forgive them, even though he is more than willing to do so. God is truly a forgiving God and will forgive when we confess and repent. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 86:5, where it says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And so the first level of forgiveness is downward forgiveness. And we can all be thankful that God is a forgiving God. Now, the second level of forgiveness is inward forgiveness. By this we mean we have to forgive ourselves. And this is one of the hardest things to do. Today, many are living lives of guilt. That is, they have a guilt complex. Things they've done in the past are haunting them both day and night. And this is why some will turn to things like drugs. They'll turn to alcohol. But instead of getting better, they're steadily getting worse. Why? Because drugs and alcohol do not eliminate guilt. Only forgiveness does. Only forgiveness does. Let me give you an illustration to show you what I'm talking about. I know a lady that had an abortion years ago. And she says that she still wakes up in the middle of the night thinking she's hearing her baby cry. She says every time she sees a mother with a sweet little baby in her arms, she breaks out in tears. And she says every time she drives by an abortion clinic, she relives that awful sin that she committed. And even though since then she has given her heart to Jesus and he has forgiven her sin, she has not been able to forgive herself. A prison chaplain friend of mine said that many of the people in prison to whom he ministers are dying 1,000 deaths over their past crimes. Their sins are there before them all the time, and they won't go away. And again, remember what David said in Psalm 51:3. He said, "For I've acknowledged, or acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Sin leaves an ugly scar. There's no doubt about that. But God can and will help us to live with that scar. And how does God help us? Well, when Satan or people bring up our past sins, just admit that it happened. But then begin to say, "I am forgiven by God. And I have forgiven myself." Remind yourself over and over again that all of those past sins are under the blood, never to be remembered by God again. When you opened up your heart and you invited Jesus Christ in to be your Savior and Lord, you know what He did? He wiped your slate clean. He gave you a totally fresh start. He gave you the opportunity to begin again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In order to experience inward forgiveness, you got to constantly remind yourself of God's forgiveness. He has said things in His word like, "He has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. He has dropped your sin into the depths of the sea." He says, I'm putting it behind my back so I'll never see it again. It says He has taken your sin away and you have been washed as white as snow. In order to experience inward forgiveness, you just have to constantly remind yourself of God's forgiveness. And so we've seen here two types of forgiveness: downward forgiveness, inward forgiveness, and then finally this morning, one more, and that's outward forgiveness. We who have been forgiven have an obligation to extend forgiveness to others. And that's what our opening text was all about. Verse 32 of Ephesians 5. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Here it is now. "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." There are so many people who refuse to forgive, and they harbor resentments, and they hold grudges, and they are unhappy, defeated, miserable, bitter people who don't even realize that the only one they're hurting by carrying that unforgiveness is themselves. They fail to pay heed to the warning that Paul gives us in Hebrews 12 and verse 5 about letting a root of bitterness spring up in our heart. What's happened is they've allowed that root of bitterness to spring up, and it's grown into this big plant, and it has poisoned their lives. It has poisoned their lives, and it has hindered them from experiencing God's forgiveness. I know we're all familiar with the fact that in Matthew 6, where we have what we call the Lord's Prayer, one of the things we're instructed to pray is, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." But what we don't often remember is that as soon as that prayer is over, when the word "amen" is seen in your Bible, as soon as that prayer is over, Jesus goes back and He takes a couple of verses to talk about the subject of forgiveness. And I want you to see that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. You'll notice at the end of verse 13, there's the word amen, right? The end of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then we read this. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But notice this. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, if you want to experience the mercy of God and be blessed, you have got to be merciful to others. Back in the Beatitudes, at the beginning of this sermon that Jesus is preaching here, in chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the point is, how could we have the nerve to ask for God's forgiveness if we are unwilling to offer forgiveness to others? That would be like owing money to everybody in town, and then one person owes you $5 and you demand that they pay or you're going to have them arrested. And let me say this, don't be fooled by people who say, I can't forgive. After almost 40 years of ministry, I've learned that what they really mean is, I won't forgive. I won't forgive. Because if you could not forgive, God would not command you to forgive. And as I said, the first person who gains from forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. By forgiving, we let go of our resentment, right? But when we refuse to forgive, you know what happens? We become prisoners of those who have hurt us. We become prisoners of those who have hurt us. And the reality is, even if others will not admit that they've done us wrong, we should still forgive them, simply to benefit our own heart and our own peace of mind. It's interesting. The Hebrew word for forgive, the word salach, means this. It means to have hatred in your fist and then to release it. That's what the word means. It means to have hatred in your fist and release it. Just let it go. Just let it go. And I can honestly tell you this. One of the surest ways to turn an enemy into a friend is to display Christian forgiveness. Think about this. What if Jesus had insisted on his rights, and if he gave us what we all deserve and decided not to forgive us, where would we be? I mean, there would have been no cross. There would be no forgiveness, no salvation, no eternal life, and no hope for any one of us. But instead, he was willing to forgive, and by that set an example for us. And so concerning forgiveness, we've looked at downward forgiveness, forgiveness from God, forgiveness that we experience when we confess our sin and repent of our sin and trust Christ as our Savior. And then there is inward forgiveness, a forgiving of ourselves, a release from guilt that comes when we constantly remind ourselves that God has forgiven us and given us a clean slate. And then there is outward forgiveness that we are to offer to others who've done us wrong, a forgiveness that we offer because Jesus has set the example for us. And so the question this morning is very simple. Have you experienced downward forgiveness? Have you brought your sins to Jesus and asked him to forgive them? Have you experienced inward forgiveness for that past of yours? Just remind yourself over and over, God has forgiven you totally. And then the other question is, are you offering outward forgiveness to others? Because to be honest with you, if you want to be blessed, you need to do that. Because remember what Jesus said in those Beatitudes, Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to take these truths that are very simple Bible truths, yet very profound Bible truths. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who has not experienced downward forgiveness, they've never come to Jesus with their sins and asked him to forgive them and be their Savior, I pray that this morning they would see that to be their greatest need. Or maybe there's a Christian in this room who's gotten involved in some things that they know they shouldn't be involved in. And I pray, Father, that this morning they would come to you in confession and repentance as well. And then, Lord, if there's somebody in this room that's really struggling with that inward forgiveness thing, Lord, help them to focus on you and on your mercy and your grace and your love that you've shown to them. Help them to focus on the fact that you've given them a clean slate and a fresh start and you've taken away their sins. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to offer outward forgiveness to others. Help us not to be people who harbor bitterness and resentment in our heart. Instead, help us to let it go. Help us to forgive people as we follow the example that you set for us on Calvary. Help us to be a forgiving type of Christian. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.